You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. Okay, we're going to talk about something. We're going to continue on with this mystery. I want to explain to you in more greater detail about speaking in tongues and the mystery that comes from speaking in tongues. After this, you're going to be absolutely gobsmacked. You're going to be absolutely amazed. If you don't get this revelation, then something's wrong with you. You're going to need to get down on your knees and pray in tongues and say, Holy Spirit, give me the revelation of revelation. Because this will get you out of the ditch. Listen, everybody I get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I get them praying in tongues and it gets them out of the ditch. I don't care if they're a drug addict, they're a pimp. I don't care if they're a nice person or a bad person. I don't care if they're full of demons. I don't care if they're full of emotional ideas. I don't care how messed up they are. I don't give a hoot. I can get every single one of them, if I can get them praying in tongues, then they will eventually get out of the ditch and they will become powerful men and women of God because they use the Holy Spirit to give them revelation so that they had wisdom to do the right thing to get them out of the ditch. That's how it works. Then when you get out of the ditch, you keep praying in tongues so that you stay out of the ditch. And if you fall back in the ditch, you pray in tongues, because you didn't pray in tongues, that's why you're back in the ditch. You get back out of the ditch because you prayed in tongues. It was sent to you for a purpose. The Holy Ghost was sent to you for a purpose, to sanctify you, right? But there are 100 talks I could give, not the same talks, but 100 different talks on the dynamics of what will happen if you speak in tongues. So we'll go through a few major points and let your imagination run wild and figure it out for yourself. So we'll go through some Bible scriptures, okay? How about in Mark chapter 4 verse 11? And he said unto them, this is talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Jesus hid everything in parables, so that the natural man would not extrapolate, or I got that word extrapolate, would not extract the living seed from that parable, which is hidden. The Bible says it's a pleasure for God to see all things, but it is an honor for us as kings to go and dig it up. It's interesting, but he talks about them being a ground, and in the ground there is rocks, and in another ground there are thorns. So do you think because the plant couldn't go down, because its roots couldn't go down because of the rocks, it shot up high, but it had no ability to maintain its stature because it didn't have a heavy-duty root system because of the stones. So, if you read on in the parable, you'll read that in Matthew chapter 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, and you will actually, they're the three parts in the Gospels where the parable is spoken. So, if you read that, you'll find out that Jesus talks about a light. So you use the light to find the stones. You use the light to find the thorns, because the thorns choke the word. Right? And what is the light? The light is the candle of the Holy Ghost. What's the candle of the Holy Ghost? What does light do? It reveals. It's a revelatory device. When you walk into darkness, you take the candle with you and it exposes the darkness. It's a revelatory device. It gives you revelation of what is around you. Speaking in tongues is that light. So, you sit down and you pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit says, there are stones in your ground that are going to cause you not to be able to send down roots. If you get rid of those stones, then we can send down roots. And you say, okay, Holy Ghost, I'll do that. And you come into agreement with the Holy Spirit. And because you have built yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you built yourself up into a place of faith so that you can release those precious little stones that you love so dearly in your life, which are systems of thought, they're ideas and precepts of who God is and who that you think God should be. And you release those stones, and then your root system can go down and receive great water. Because the Bible talks about he that is seated by a river and has his roots down deep has green leaves. Okay? So then we can go to Romans. It says, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul's, and the preaching of the of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul received the gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ, because he spoke in tongues more than you all. He speaks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, for I speak in tongues more than you all. He's talking to the Corinthians, who were not short in coming in the gifts. They were not slack in the gifts. They were pretty good. So they all spoke in tongues. So Paul made a statement that he spoke in tongues more than them all. That's a lot of hours, continually, on a continual basis. When Paul got the revelation of speaking in tongues, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when he was on the road to some other place, God spoke to him and said, you know, Paul, did you know that Adam was the first and now Jesus was the second Adam? And Paul went, oh! And then God released in picture form or in drip form the revelation of Jesus being the second Adam. Because when Paul was speaking in tongues, he got the revelation downloaded to his spirit. And you cannot receive that revelation in one full gulp. You'll choke on it. It's too big. So you have to see it one picture at a time. You have to meditate on the things that God has downloaded in your spirit, because your soul is incapable of looking at all of the revelation that God has given you in one hit. You can't do it. It's a little bit like sitting at a table full of food. You can't eat it all at once. You have to slowly digest it. So he digested this revelation, and he wrote it in a letter. He said, behold, I show you a miracle. We shall all sleep, but we should all be changed. And he talks about us being changed in a twinkling of an eye. He talks about a husband loving your wife and giving yourself to your wife just as Christ gave himself to the church. This is a great mystery. Where do you get the mystery? He got it from speaking in tongues. Then he talks about the mystery of the man of perdition. He talks about the mystery of what we call, the Christian will call, the Antichrist, you know, and he speaks about him until he is put out of the way. It talks about that mystery as a mystery of iniquity. Where these mysteries come from? How did he get them? He got them because he prayed in tongues. Is it interesting that most of the New Testament, well, three quarters of the New Testament is written by Paul, was received from God by revelation because he spent time speaking in tongues. So now we get the scriptures and we look at the revelation that he wrote, and we only see the surface because it's just logos. A newspaper is logos. A magazine is logos. A encyclopedia, the words on there, is logos. The words on an instruction manual that you get from China to try and put together some device you bought over the internet that you can't understand is logos. But it becomes rhema when it becomes life attached to it, when it has a life-giving seed attached to it, a revelatory seed. So Paul got a revelation about the things of God and the operation of God. He wrote it in letters and sent them to all the churches. The churches had these letters, and they were just logos to them. That's all they were until they actually got rhema verify revelation by studying, meditating on these words, praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit revealing the hidden mysteries that were on the surface, that were underneath. That's what happened. It's pretty good. I like that. Could you imagine? What about here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9? Having made known unto you the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in him. That's a mouthful, that one. You could spend a month just thinking about that particular verse. Having made known unto you the mystery of his will. How do you know the mystery of his will? It's hidden. It's dynamically released by the Holy Spirit, because you filled your spirit up with revelation of him by praying in tongues. Right? His will. According. So, the mystery of his will is according to this. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So this mystery that he is releasing to you of his will isn't something that is just there. It is purposely released to you because he wills it, because of his good pleasure, because he wanted you to have it. It's not just something that's an add an extra. It is something that God desires for you to have. He wants you to have the mystery of his will. That's pretty good. How about this one? This is a great, it's in Ephesians 5, verse 32. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about the husband and wife and the relationship between the husband and wife. And there is a mystery of the dynamics between Christ and us. He is our head. We are his body. He is head over us as husband is head over the wife. He gives those dynamics in the natural to show the dynamics in the spiritual. How about this one? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. He wants other people to pray for him, that he would have free course, that he would have utterance to speak, that he would have boldness, and he would also have the revelatory ability to speak dynamically into people's lives the perfect will of God for them in the situation, in their time, in their season, to create a power that he could operate in that would harvest souls. I like that's pretty good, eh? How about this one? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mysteries which hath been hid from ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. How do you manifest the mysteries? Praying in tongues. And in 27 it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's another mystery, Christ in you. Now, you'll only receive that mystery if you pray in tongues and meditate on the Word. So if you meditate on the Word, that means read a little bit, not read millions of it, but read a little bit, or actually the best way is to read a lot of Word and then just meditate so that it's in you, so that you can pull it up like a cow pulls a cud up and chew on it for hours and hours. And then you can understand the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a powerful mystery. That's a powerful mystery. How about this? Contend in prayer. It's in Colossians chapter 4, 2-3. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. It's the same thing. as in Ephesians. Now, Ephesians and Colossians are very similar. He wrote the same books at the same time, and the contents is in both books, the same contents, but it is actually dynamically different because it comes from a different angle. Very interesting. So from the same food, you get two different flavors. How about this one in Second Thessalonians? For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he taketh out of the way. I'll leave that to you. That's a big mystery. I haven't got that mystery. How about Timothy? How about in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1? It says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You know, people who actually feed you cardboard, ministers who only have half a bit of someone else's revelation, are not holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. They're giving you something that's been regurgitated by some other person who doesn't even know what they're talking about. And you're being fed it so that you can go and regurgitate it to somebody else, full of rubbish and lies and abomination. Mistruths about God and accusations about God's character and nature, which you don't even realize that you're saying. It's not a good look. It's not very good at all. Okay, how about this one here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20? It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. He's talking to John. And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou seest are the seven churches. So he's revealing this mystery unto John. And you'll find that Revelation is self-explanatory. Revelation is not a mystery. Revelation is a revelation. That's what it is. And it is brought out by this, by meditating on it. Right? Matter of fact, the revelation of Jesus Christ is his last word to mankind. And it was the last book. So the last words that mankind received that are part of the canon are from Jesus Christ, his own personal letters. And he didn't hide them in a big mystery. They are open for everybody who can look. There is a blessing upon them. Matter of fact, if you systematically go through Revelations, it says something that's very strange, and then an angel explains what the strangeness is. Then he goes on and you see something else, and then something else happens that's very strange, and another angel explains what that strangeness is. But if you're like normal people who pull a verse out of here and a one over there and one over there and try to put them together, when they don't have context, you're going to end up with a big mystery, which if you pray until the cows come home, you won't receive, because they are a lie, because they have been brought together by doctrines of devils. What do you think doctrines of devils are? They're half-truths. Half-truths, half-truths, half-truths put together to make a big fat lie. So, we know that Paul, he wrote the Bible because of the mysteries. Peter says that half the stuff that Paul wrote, we don't understand. It's a mystery. And he wrote it because he was inspired by God, by the Holy Ghost. So if you get down and pray in tongues, what do you think would happen to you? You know, the Word of God is never going to change. The Word of God is everything that God has given to mankind to know Him, to know His purpose, His plan, to know who He is, to know His value system, everything, His judgments, His love, and what the whole point of Him is about. The Word of God is there in its fullness. There'll be nothing added to it. Not in the millennium, not for the next trillion years. The Word of God is complete in its revelation of God. That's the Bible. But the revelation, sorry, the word of God, but the revelation of God will continue because it goes in multi levels. You will never, if you lived 1,000 lifetimes and you prayed in tongues every day for 8 hours a day and you scanned every jot and tittle of the Bible and you camped over the Bible all day and all night, you would not exhaust the revelation that can be taken out of the Bible of who God is, who Christ is, the hope of glory. That's pretty cool. Do you think that I've inspired you to maybe pray in tongues a little bit? We'll leave it there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.